everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Is the Law of God Abolished? When we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. The Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people, and the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities free from government surveillance. You know, I wished I'd have thought of that, but that quotation comes from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, our princes, our politicians, beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control. But you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. And that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts, not from the political process, certainly not from our politicians, lawyers, or bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild, a banker, summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me say the same thing. You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either, because the real power in America is in our courts, not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, why don't you go to the website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of the law of God. Has it been abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus? George Cunningham wrote a neat treatise, 23 pages here, in which he says, "No, I don't think so." And I agree with George, I don't think so either. And last time, I read you a letter from a lady in North Carolina, a lady by the name of Teresa. And she's having a problem with Halliburton, and I pointed out that the reason she's having a problem with Halliburton is because of broken law. She and her husband broke some laws, and she got some results from those broken laws, and the results aren't very good. And she's disappointed, and I sympathize with her. I understand that. But Teresa's not the only person who breaks laws, and results turn out to be less than expected. It goes on constantly. It happens to me. It happens to you. It happens to everybody. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And people try to excuse that by saying, well, we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. And because we don't live in a perfect world, we get imperfect results. And so we constantly excuse ourselves. Well, excuse me, why don't you live in a perfect world? You know, if you practiced the law of God, you would be living in a perfect world. This fella Gene would be alive today if he obeyed the law of God. How do I know that? Time and chance happens to us all. I mentioned that to you last time. Time and chance isn't going to happen to me until I'm 70 years old. Listen to this. I'm 67, Teresa. 67. I'm not going to die for 3 more years. How do I know that? Well, because by law, I'm entitled to 70 years, and so is your husband, Gene, and so are you. I'm going to presume that you're about 47 years old also. If you go into a cemetery and you read the grave markers, and if you can do a little mental math, and you take a look at the gravestone, and you see that the guy died at age 55, that's a breach of contract. How do I know that? Because the law guarantees you 70 years under the terms of the Old Covenant contract. And your husband, Gene, was entitled to 70 years. And he didn't get his 70 years. He died at age 47. So he was short 23 years of his lifespan, and that's called a breach of contract. Now we need to identify who was it that violated the terms and conditions of the contract, because God guaranteed him 70 years, 25,550 days. Furthermore, he said, you obey me and keep my commandments, and I will give you 25,550 days of life with no disease, nothing, not even a head cold. And that's just special. And I'll just bet you that old Gene had probably a head cold or the flu and maybe had pneumonia a couple times in his life. And he didn't keep the Sabbath and he didn't practice strict liability. And, well, I guess in this case, maybe he did. He was practicing strict liability because he didn't have a life insurance policy. Because if he had a life insurance policy, Teresa probably wouldn't be writing me this letter. But I said I was going to analyze this letter for Teresa, and I was going to analyze the letter for all of you listeners out there. Remember, Gene worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so he didn't practice the Sabbath. He reported a problem. Well, he was a supervisor. If you're working on a construction job and you see a problem, you're supposed to report it. I mean, it's just normal. And he reported the problem. His supervisor said, well, turn the valve off. That's pretty simple. That doesn't require that you be a trained water hydrologist to turn off a valve. So evidently, they're filling up this bladder, and the bladder contains water pressure. And this bladder, because of somebody's negligence, somebody's asleep in the next room, is overfilled. Gene just happens to be coming along, and he sees this bladder. If Gene had come along 5 minutes later, that bladder would have already exploded, and Gene would be alive today. If Gene would have gotten there 5 minutes sooner, he would have shut off the valve and the thing wouldn't have exploded. Well, it probably wouldn't have exploded while he was standing right there. They would have started decreasing the water pressure in it. He would have yelled out, hey, Bob, what the hell's going on over here? In order for Gene to get killed, he had to be exactly in the wrong place at exactly the wrong time. And he was. So it didn't require a skilled, certified person who is not a carpenter. I find that hard to believe, Teresa. Now, you probably believe that, but I... You know, if I was working on a job, I'm not a trained hydrologist either. I'm a carpenter. And if I came along, I would report it and say, hey, this thing looks like it's over full to me. Well, shut it off. Okay, well, I'll go turn the valve off. You don't have to be real smart to turn a valve off. They turn clockwise to turn them off and counterclockwise to turn them on. Now, there was a person who fell asleep. You could sue that person, but he's not the guy who's really responsible. He's just hired for wages. He's probably another independent contractor like your husband. I'm going to use the term independent contractor over here. And, yeah, somebody made a mistake. But, you know, that's called an act of God. An act of God. And the guy fell asleep. People do that all the time. People fall asleep on the job. People fall asleep at the wheel of their car, cross the center line, and have head-on collisions which kill people. Happens all the time. Yeah, it's we call it negligence and we call it wrongful death and one thing and another, but in the final analysis, is Halliburton the proximate cause of your husband's injury? Does Halliburton have a policy that says thou shalt fill thy bladders way over full so they will explode? No, no. They've got a policy that says thou shalt not sleep on the job. Thou shalt not fill these bladders fuller than 10,000 gallons. They've got policies that are in place. And when it comes to trial, they're going to walk in and trot out their policy manual and say, gee, we told these guys not to do that. It's not our fault that they didn't follow instructions. So in a wrongful death case, Teresa, what you've got to prove is that Halliburton had a policy that they knew or should have known was going to be injurious to Gene. And if you can't prove that, you don't have a case. And that's the way it goes. Now, you're a widow, and then you're 47 years old, and you've got the rest of your life to lead. And I don't want to be callous, and I don't want to be rude and obnoxious, but, you know, life goes on, and you're going to have to live life as a widow. Other people have been through the same thing, and you'll live through it. And, of course, there's provisions in the Bible for widows. Did you know that? And you should be taken care of and treated as a widow. I don't know what church you belong to. I don't know whether or not you're going to be treated as a widow. I'm just telling you that under the old covenant contract, you would now qualify as a widow, and under the Levitical priesthood, you would be taken care of as a widow. But then I don't think you practice the Mosaic law. So is it going to be Social Security? Is it going to be welfare? Are you going to go get a job at Walmart? I don't know what you're going to do, but, you know, you got to do something. Then there was a description of the injuries. These descriptions of injuries that were so vivid, you know, he was cut from ear to ear, you know, those are called inflammatory statements that cannot be made in front of the jury anyway. They don't add anything to the case. He was killed. And how he died and what the description of his injuries are, those are personal things that are very, very disturbing to you, but can't even be brought up at trial. The whistleblower was fired. I don't know why he was fired. Probably because he talked and he wasn't supposed to. The company has a policy. And in the policy manual it says shut up. And listen, when you have an insurance policy, your insurance claims agent says, shut up. Shut up. And he didn't shut up. He went out and spilled his guts, and so they fired him. But that's not a crime, and it isn't going to help you a whole lot with your case, unless, in fact, there is some skullduggery afoot. Now, there could be. There could be. And as I said in the last program, I don't have enough information here to make that kind of a decision. Your lawyer does. The contractor does. You have that information, and if you knew how to code plead it out, you'd just go read the contract, and it will tell you. The contract is readable. The contract is understandable. You may need a 10-power loop to read the fine print, but there's information in that contract that Gene signed that's going to tell you what the company's liability is. Now, there's also statutes that govern cases like this, but this is a war zone, and we tried to do some research here on a war zone, and it brings us back to the terms of the contract again. And it could even be that unemployment insurance, workman's compensation, and Social Security doesn't work in a war zone. And again, I'm not an expert on that and don't have quite enough information. I got to have that contract in order to make that kind of a determination. I mentioned to you last time, Social Security death benefits pay immediately, and if he was an employee, I think Social Security would be paying, but it could well be that Social Security doesn't pay in a war zone, and that's why they pay you 4 or 5 times what you get here in the States. So, what did you sign for that $50,000, by the way? You know, when they gave you that $50,000 check, you signed something. Multinational corporations do not come up to you and hand you a $50,000 check. They said to you, hey, sign here and we'll give you this $50,000 death benefit. This is the down payment. It could be that they lied to you. And you also mentioned that you're not getting your widow's benefits. Hey, listen, that contract spells out your widow's benefits. It spells out your life insurance. In fact, I find it hard to believe that Halliburton doesn't have a life insurance policy on all of these contractors that go over there just to protect themselves. Kind of like a bank does, you know, they require that you buy mortgage insurance in case your husband died, it would pay the mortgage off for you. Things like that. Now, life insurance, remember, is against the law of God. It's not against the law of man. And Gene should have had a life insurance policy because he didn't practice the law of God. But you'll see life insurance, or insurance, is called limited liability, and it's prohibited in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Time and chance happened to Gene. Time and chance is recorded in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. Gene just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time without a guardian angel to protect him. Over here in Luke chapter 13, there's a neat little story over here. Jesus told us a neat little story. And there was a tower being built. And it's in verses 1 through 6, so let me just cover here for you. It says, there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, well, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or how about those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelled in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now here was an industrial accident that he used as an example. He was building a tower over here and it fell down, killed 18 of them. You know, accidents like that happen. They're called acts of God. Maybe there was negligence involved, you know. Maybe there was poor construction technique or practices, you know. Maybe there was poor quality materials being used. I don't know what the terms and conditions were at the job site. I'm just telling you that nobody dies on this planet. God himself said, not even a bird can die on this planet that he doesn't know about. Now, boys and girls, if a bird can't fall out of the sky that God doesn't know about, surely Gene didn't die and God didn't know about it. But Gene died at age 47, and he can't die until he's age 70 without a breach of contract. The contract was breached by Gene. Gene did not practice the Mosaic law. He didn't practice the law of God, and indeed he died. Albeit, was he a sinner above all? No, he was just an average Joe Sixpack. Just doing his job, just doing his thing. Went to Baghdad and said, I think I'll score pretty big here. You know, I said, hey, Teresa, I think I'll go to Baghdad and work for a year or two. And those guys that are over there working in Iraq are getting paid $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year to work there, depending upon their skill levels and what they need. You know, they need translators over there that speak Arabic. And I just saw an ad the other day. Hell, they're hiring guys like that. They pay signing bonuses. I've got a student here the other day. They wanted him to work up at Fort Leonard. Hell, they paid him a $25,000 signing bonus. And then on top of that, they're going to pay him $61 an hour. That's just to get him to move from where he's at. So to get people to work over there in Baghdad, you got to pay these guys, you know, a bonus. And so Gene probably got paid a signing bonus when he signed on, and he got paid five times what he's going to get paid here in the States and blah, blah, blah. But it's a hazardous work zone. And to do that, he has to sign on and agree that he'll violate the law of God. Very common practice. It happened. And in this case, it caught up with him and he got killed. 69 others have been killed also, working for Halliburton. Well, I don't know if that's high or low. Actually, if you stop and think about the war over in Iraq, you know, people get emotional, especially if it's your kid that gets killed. But you need to understand that insofar as casualties are concerned, they're very minimal. Very, very minimal. In fact, if you took an average American city of 160,000 people, and then take the number of Americans that are dying in Iraq, and I think it's three a day. And then just translate that into a city in America of 160,000. I can assure you that there's more than three people dying every day in Springfield, Missouri. Now, the violent deaths getting blown up alongside the highway makes news. That's what comes on your 6 o'clock news. And the president and George Cheney are complaining about that and saying, you know, it is not a fair analysis. And I think Cheney and Bush are exactly correct. If you take World War II, the number of people that got killed, you know, on D-Day, it was in the thousands. I mean, there's more people died in the first hour on Utah Beach than have died in Iraq. So, you know, when you're talking about casualties, when it's your kid or your husband that gets killed, that's a tragedy. And old Joe Stalin hit the nail on the head. He said, when a death occurs in a family, that's a tragedy. When a million people die, it's a statistic. Now, when a million people die over in Darfur, hell, that's just a statistic. Nobody cares about that. But when Jean dies, Teresa's really concerned. You know, that's her husband. When your husband gets killed, ladies, you'll be just as concerned as this lady Teresa. But you need to understand, and the Messiah is being just as analytical here. He says, boys and girls, do you understand that if you break the law, you will all likewise perish, just like these people did at that Tower of Siloam? That's the part that breaks the game. Now, Halliburton had a contract with this fellow Gene, and that contract is going to be the controlling document in this litigation. Social Security death benefits, I told you about that. You go into the Social Security office, give them the facts, and I've never heard of Social Security telling or lying to you in order to avoid paying. Social Security's got plenty of money, and will have for another 20 years. And to my knowledge, Social Security is playing like a slot machine. You're paying off like a slot machine at Harris. If you walk in and you give them these facts, Teresa, and they say that you're not going to collect till you're 50, they're just giving you the straight skinny. And I'm not going to tell you anything that's going to help you there. I mentioned that Gene was a Sabbath breaker. And by the way, did you know that Sabbath breaking is a capital felony? And under the Mosaic law, if Gene was breaking the Sabbath, we'd take him out and stone him to death. He'd be just as dead whether we took him out and stoned him to death or whether he was out working on the job and he got killed. However, if Gene was practicing the Sabbath and holy days and obeying those 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, Gene would not have died. And I mentioned to you that I'm 67 and I'm not going to die for 3 more years. As long as I'm practicing the Mosaic law, I will not die until I'm 70. And my guardian angel is going to make sure that that happens. Otherwise, there'll be a wrongful death. And God doesn't pay out very many wrongful death cases. He's going to pay a wrongful death on John the Baptist. John the Baptist died before he was 70 years old. Jesus said that there wasn't a more righteous man born among women than John the Baptist. Now, there probably have been a few people, I can only name one, John the Baptist. I do not know how old Elijah was when he died. I can't tell you how many other people died before they were 70, but every one of them is going to be rewarded and paid for wrongful death. God will pay those wrongful death claims. But there's not going to be very many of them. And this guy, Gene, isn't going to be one of them either. All right, now this guardian angel is mentioned in Exodus 23, verse 20. He's also mentioned in Matthew 4, verse 6, and in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And everybody on planet Earth has a guardian angel. All 6 billion of us on the planet have an angel. And that angel's job is to protect you. Now, Until you violate the law to such a degree or get to such a point that the angel doesn't protect you, that's where time and chance comes in. Time and chance. So, if you're practicing the law, you're under the contract, the angel will protect you. If you don't practice the law, the angel may or may not protect you, and I don't know what the standards are for making that determination. The 3 statutes, again, are Exodus 23:20. Matthew 4, verse 6, and Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. So check those 3 out, and I think they'll tell you about that guardian angel. And they're very valuable. Those guardian angels are pretty valuable guys. You're entitled to 70 years. You'll see that in Psalm 90, verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. Just multiply it out. 70 times 365, 25,550 days. In Exodus 23, verse 26, you're guaranteed your full 70 years by contract. Remember I said you're entitled to the 70 years and you won't die practicing this law. And you'll see that in Exodus 23, verse 26. in Leviticus 26, verses 1 through 14, and Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. So if you remember these two chapters, they're the penal clause chapters to the contract. Penal clause chapters. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. First 14 verses. And they tell you, if you practice this law, here's what you can expect as a result. So I'm just going to run through that, just take a minute here. I'm going to do this for all of you Teresas out there. God says it'll come to pass, this is Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and he says it'll come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments. I'm going to underline the word all, A-L-L, and ask the question, what is it about the word all that you don't understand? How many commandments do you have to practice? And right here, somebody gets real snotty with me. They always get snotty. And they say, you can't practice all those laws. She says, I don't know. I mentioned one to you the other day. There's a law in the Bible, and it says that you're to post these Ten Commandments on your doorposts. I'm going to ask Teresa this question. Teresa, do you have on your doorposts and on your front gate, assuming you have a fence around your house, on your front gate, do you have the Ten Commandments posted on your gate, and do you have the Ten Commandments posted on your front and back doorposts? Three signs. Do you have that? Teresa, if you're normal, you do not have any signs containing the Ten Commandments on your doorposts. And I mentioned to you that in Deuteronomy 11, verse 20, and Deuteronomy 6, verse 9, two statutes in the Bible that require that you do that. You and Gene should have had the Ten Commandments posted on your doorposts. I do. See, I'm a righteous Rosie and a goody two-shoes, and I have a sign on my front gate. I have one of those signs on my front doorpost and one on my back doorpost. Let me ask all of you boys and girls out there in radio land, is there something about that law that you physically are unable to fulfill? Is it because your hands have been blown off with a hand grenade in Baghdad, and you have no hands with which to nail the Ten Commandments onto your doorposts? Because if that's the case, you know, you probably have a little better excuse. Let me ask you this. Assuming that your hands have been blown off, do you have a neighbor, a wife, a kid, a friend who could nail it up there for you? You know, boys and girls, I find it hard to believe, you know, in modern 20th century or 21st century America, that you are physically, mentally, or in some way incapacitated and unable to follow that law. Now, I'll concede it's probably one of the least commandments, but remember what Jesus said about least commandments. He said, if you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, you need to do and preach and teach these least commandments. He didn't say preach, he said teach. I'm not a preacher. I've been to seminary. Hell, I don't have any license. I'm a plumber by trade. I'm a general contractor. I'm a fair to middling carpenter. I'm a finished carpenter. Just like your husband, a carpenter. Now, if I can put those two signs up on my doorpost, Teresa, you can put those two signs up on your doorpost. And you will be in compliance with one out of those 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. You will be in compliance with one of those laws. Now you've got 758 more. And Teresa, you've got a driver's license, and you have more traffic codes, statutes, rules, and regulations in the North Carolina traffic code, for crying out loud, than you have in the entire Mosaic law. So when somebody gets kind of snotty with me and they say, well, that's impossible and you cannot keep all those laws, I say, bullshit. Can I get any plainer? Bullshit. Or as they say in polite society, bull manure or bull feces. Well, let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. The truth of the matter is, we're just normal, average, run-of-the-mill Christians. My Aunt Bessie was a Christian. Boys and girls, 95% of Americans are Christians, and I will bet you that Teresa and Jean would say, yes, we're good Christians, and we went to church every Sunday. Or if not, we're at least casual Christians, and we went to church twice a year on Christmas and Easter. Or maybe we didn't even go to church, but, you know, we were Christians and we believed in God. I don't know. And not to be insensitive, I just want to point out that the word all means all. It means you practice all of this law. And maybe once in a while, there will be a violation come up. A storm came through, and a strong wind blew the sign down. That happened to me. I went out one time and on the front gate, and the sign was gone. I don't know if a storm blew it down or if some teenage kid came driving by and ripped down my sign. I don't know. But a couple of days went by, and I went out and put a new sign up. The law requires that I have that sign. That's all. I'm just telling you, the law requires that you have a sign with the Ten Commandments on it, on your gates and on your doorposts. I don't see anything about that law that is so difficult, boys and girls, that we just can't follow it. It's that we just don't want to. It's just inconvenient as hell, and it's more than I want to do today. Okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But when you get a bad result, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at me. You know, you get a bad result because you don't follow this law. And this is just one of the least commandments. God said, I want you to practice all these laws. Now, if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not going to practice all of them, I'm just going to practice some of them. Okay. Then you're going to get some of the results that you want and some of the bad results that you don't want you're going to get. I didn't write that. I'm just a reporter. The word all is in verse 1. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder and we'll be back with more on this thing of has the law of God been abolished when we come back. Meanwhile, you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just call our homeschooling page or call it up on your computer, the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Please be sure to order yours at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the law of Moses. The law of God, has it been abolished and done away with? Well, all the Christians, all the preachers tell you it is. So, I got a letter from this lady, Teresa, and I started to analyze the letter, and I said, you know, you get bad results when you have bad legal practices. So, I've been going through some of those, And I'm up to Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the very first verse of Deuteronomy 28, which is the benefit package. It says, you know, here's what you're going to get. I'm going to give you all these benefits if you practice all of my laws. And I'm going to set you on high above all nations of the earth. So you got a national and you got an individual benefit here. In verse 2 he says, and all these blessings shall come upon you, and it'll overtake you. And if you hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out before you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Eternal will command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand to do. Now, in this case here, I'm going to break in right here. This fellow, Gene, said, I want to go to Baghdad and I want to make $100,000 a year working in Baghdad. Now, in verse 7, he says, the Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you, flee before you, and be smitten before your face. You know, if we were over there in Iraq and we were practicing the law of God, our enemies would be vanquished by the angels. You know, we're fighting a hell of a war over there and we're not able to prevail. That tells you, under the war statutes here in the scripture, our God is not fighting for us over in Iraq. That's what your problem is. In World War II, our angel was fighting for us and destroyed our enemies before our face. In verse 8, he says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do. Gene set his hand to making $100,000 a year in Baghdad and got killed over there. And that tells you a little part of the story. Not everything that Gene set his hand unto prospered. Why was that? Well, because he didn't keep the Sabbath, for one thing. He did not practice all of this law. Even if he had gone over there and signed on, and I don't know, but what, you know, if I was, I'll tell you this. Let me just run this one by you. Now, let's suppose that you're an Arabic translator, and you're a Jew, and you speak Arabic. And the other day I saw an ad, they got a sign-on bonus, a $100,000 sign-on bonus for Arabic translators in Iraq. And I suppose they're going to pay you $100,000 a year. Now, you're a Jew. Walk in. I don't know what the company name is. Let's call it Halliburton. Walk into Halliburton and say, I'm a Jew. And I speak fluent Arabic. Listen to me. And then rattle off a couple of sentences. And say, I would be happy to go to Iraq and to translate for you, but I'm a Jew and I'm not going to work on Saturday. I want every Saturday off. And I'm going to take this clause in the contract where it says we're going to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to change that. I'm going to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and we'll put a little clause here, you know, and I want you to initial this. From Friday sundown until Saturday sundown, I'm not working. I'll bet you they'd sign you on. I think they're that desperate. Now, most people don't care. You know, the average Joe Sixpack carpenter out here working on a construction job, he don't care whether he works on Saturday or not. I'm just pointing out to you boys and girls, I think that if Halliburton was hard up enough for help, you could rewrite that contract. I mean, if I wanted to go to Baghdad, that's what I would do. I'd just walk in and say, well, I'm a Hebrew, I practice Hebrew law, and if you want me to work over there, here's what you got to have. And when I got over to Iraq, I would put the Ten Commandments up on my doorpost in my apartment, or in my barracks, or wherever I'm kept. I would practice all of the Mosaic law wherever I go on planet Earth. Just like Daniel did, just like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and every Hebrew that's ever drawn breath to my knowledge and obeyed God and kept His commandments, we would be practicing these same laws, same customs, same practices anywhere we go. Now, you know, probably Halliburton wouldn't hire you, probably, which would keep you out of harm's way. Which, what difference does it make? I don't know of any skilled craftsman anywhere that can't work. You know, I've been in the trades all my life. I've never seen a day in my life that I couldn't work somewhere, doing something. You know, a plumber's helper, hell, I can go out here and light your cigarettes and pour coffee for somebody. I could work as a lumper, for crying out loud, picking up sticks. There's work out there. It just isn't paying as much as Halliburton does over in Iraq. Now, that's in verse 8. And everything that you set your hand to ought to prosper. And God says, I'll bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. In verse 9, he goes on, he says, the Lord will establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you will keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. Listen, this is a sworn contract. It's a notarized contract by the Creator of the universe. He says, do this, and here's what I'll do. Now, most of you people listening to me right now have never experienced these benefits and blessings because you've never practiced the law. And you're never going to get these benefits because you don't practice the law. I mean, that's the way life is. The contract says you do A, B, and C, and you get D, E, and F. Let's try it sometime. You go down to McDonald's and say, hey, I'd like to get a job. And the guy says, well, good, we'll pay you $5 an hour. You show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you work until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 8 hours straight through, $40. Okay, let's try it. You show up at 9:30 in the morning, you work until noon. Then you come to the boss and say, where's my $40? And he says, you dummy, you didn't get here at 8. You only worked 3 hours. Here's $15, and you're fired. And you come back and say, I didn't get the $40 that I was entitled to. Well, of course you didn't get the $40. You didn't fulfill your end of the contract. Now, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real. If you want the benefits that come from Deuteronomy 28, then get your butt out of bed and go to work. Otherwise, read them and weep. That's what they tell you in the card room. You know, when the dealer deals the cards, he says, read them and weep. No, if you want the benefits, perform. He goes on in verse 10, he says, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal will make you plenteous in goods, and the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Eternal your God swore to your fathers to give you. And the Eternal will open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And verse 14 says, you shall not go aside from any of the words. I'm going to underline that word, Andy. Remember, got the word all. Okay. And I says, and you shall not go aside from any. A-N-Y. Any. Okay. Let's go back here to our Ten Commandments sign again. Okay. This is one of the laws. It's one of 133 laws in the Bible, regulated by these 759 statutes, which is about one-third of your traffic code. Now, by God, if you can learn your traffic code and drive a damn car in the United States, you can learn to practice the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. Now, that's assuming, of course, that you're not brain dead and that you've got an IQ that, you know, pushes up around 85 or 90. Hell, you don't have to be very smart. You can be kind of dull and practice the law of God. You don't have to be real smart to nail the Ten Commandments on your doorpost now. Now, that's going to make you a peculiar person. Now, that's another thing. You know, human beings have a herd instinct. And human beings are naturally followers. Human beings are not extroverts. Human beings are naturally introverts. About 5% of us are extroverts. 5%. I'm one of those. Not naturally. I'm not a natural extrovert. I'm kind of a quiet, laid-back kind of guy. I'd sit down and shut up. I wouldn't just stand out in the crowd. But I decided years ago that if I was going to get anywhere in life, I had to be an extrovert. And so I said, well, I'm going to train myself to do that. Now, about 5% of people are extroverts naturally. Bill Clinton is an extrovert, and he's a natural. I don't think that's trained. I think that guy's just natural. And those are the leaders, and those are the guys that stand out. Normal run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpacks don't do that. And because of that, they don't want to put the Ten Commandments on their doorpost because the UPS man's going to see it and wonder about it. Boys and girls, the UPS man does not pay me a dime. And I don't give a rat's ass what the UPS man thinks about me. Or thinks about my sign on my gatepost. And neither should you. The guy that I'm concerned about impressing is the guy that can give me all these benefits. The guy that can give me 70 years of life. The guy that can give me eternal life. The guy that can give me a rain and make my grass grow so that I've got feed to feed my cows. That's the guy that I want to impress. That's the guy that says, hey, Gordon, I want you to nail these 10 commandments up on your gatepost. And I look at that and I say, I really don't want to do that. You know, if I had my druthers, I wouldn't nail the 10 commandments up on my gatepost. And if I had my druthers, I wouldn't nail the 10 Bill of Rights on my gatepost. And if I had my druthers, I wouldn't nail the 10 Planks to the Communist Manifesto on my gatepost. And it's not because I'm not idealistic. It's because I'm just too damn lazy to nail anything on my gatepost. But I want these benefits. And in order for me to get these benefits, then I got to perform. I learned that years ago. If you want to get paid a paycheck, you know, on Friday, you got to get up at 6 in the morning, and then you got to get in the crummy, and you got to get out on the job, and you got to perform when you're on the job, and you got to be there 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and at the end of the week, if you do a fair to middling job, you get a paycheck. And if you show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, you miss the crummy, you miss a day's work, you don't get a full paycheck. And if you do that too often, you get canned and you don't have any paycheck. And that's the way life is. There are penalties, boys and girls, that go along with the real world. Now, if you want these benefits, okay, then you perform. And if you don't care, well, then don't. I'm not here trying to beat the gong for Jesus and get you to practice the Ten Commandments. I don't care whether you do or not. My point is that people write me letters, just like this lady Teresa did. Now, this lady Teresa is just as American as apple pie and vanilla ice cream. This woman is just as normal as a cookie cutter. Living her life, doing her thing with her husband, and all of a sudden one day she wakes up and, oh my God, my husband's been killed. Well, Teresa, you're not the first widow that has lived on planet Earth, and you're not going to be the last. And yes, it's a tragedy. And yes, there's a solution to your problem. I don't know exactly what the solution is. Let me invite you. Why don't you just call us on the telephone? You know, we got numbers not toll-free, but call on the telephone. Cost you 5 cents a minute from North Carolina, and we'll talk to you, and we'll see if we can help you. Mainly, this is an educational institution. And so for all of you listeners out there that are tempted to say, oh, my God, I got this bad problem, and my guardian isn't taking good care of me. See, Teresa's got a guardian. Her lawyer's not taking good care of her. And so she's looking for another guardian. And she wants George Gordon to become that guardian. And I just want to tell all you people out there is that I'm not going to become your guardian. If you would like, I will teach and train you to be your own guardian so that you can be competent. You should be legally competent to handle your own legal affairs. That's what God intended for you to be, Teresa. He intended for you to be legally competent. He intended for you to be financially competent. That if you would go to Proverbs chapter 31, you'd see what a Proverbs 31 woman is, and you'd see that you should be competent enough to buy and sell real estate, buy and sell and make money. That you should be competent enough to direct employees. Most women are not competent people. Even the women that I notice that go to college are not competent. They are taught to be subservient and to work for corporations. That's what college is all about. College trains you to be a professional slave for a corporation, working at IBM or Halliburton or somebody else. I don't know why Gene wasn't working as a general contractor for himself down on the Gulf Coast. Do you know that, you know, if I was young, I would be down in, not in New Orleans, I don't know if there's money there, but I'd be working on the Gulf Coast. I'd be down there in Biloxi, Mississippi, building houses for the people that are collecting their insurance money and rebuilding their houses. There's a guy here locally, he's building some little cabins down here. He's building them for $40,000 and selling them for $80,000. He's in the process of building about 10 of them. He sold his first one the other day. He's a general contractor from California. He just moved out here from California. He's a refugee from California. And that's exactly the right profit margin. You build it for $40,000 and sell it for $80,000. You build it for $50,000, you sell it for $100,000. And you build it for $30,000, you sell it for $60,000. You keystone your markup in building houses. And I can build a house every 90 days. Now, if this guy can build a little cabin over here for $40,000 and sell for $80,000 and do that every 90 days, excuse me here, but let me get my Texas Instrument calculator out here. That's 40 times 4, that's $160,000 a year. Well, is Gene making $160,000 a year, or was he making $160,000 a year over in Baghdad? Boys and girls, there's no shortage of work in Biloxi, Mississippi. Now, it is true that you probably don't want to work and you probably don't want to live in Biloxi. But then who the hell wants to live and work in Baghdad? You know, if you can go to Baghdad, you can go to Biloxi or Gulfport or New Orleans or Mobile or, you know. Again, you know, choices are made. And in this case, Gene made a choice and he went to Baghdad. I'm not sitting here saying he made a bad choice. I was tempted a number of times to go work on the Dew Line, go to Guam, and go to the Panama Canal Zone. I just never did it. I kind of wished I had. Quite frankly, I kind of wished that I'd, when I was a youngster, taken the time to go to Guam and work on a government project for 2 years, make some big money, and come back to the States and live my life happily ever after. A lot of guys did. A lot of guys had a lot of fun and got some good experience, and some of them got killed while they were there. That's, you know, breaks of the game. But people get killed in automobile accidents. And if Gene hadn't got killed over in Baghdad, he might have gotten killed in a traffic accident in Durham, North Carolina. I mean, that's the breaks of the game. That's what time and chance is all about. And that's what God is telling you about in Deuteronomy 28. He says, if you want to avoid time and chance, come under the terms of the contract. I'll give you my guardian angel. I'll protect you till you're 70 years old, and I'll give you all these benefits. And I think that posting the Ten Commandments on my gatepost to get these benefits is a small price to pay for all that I receive. Now, that's my view. That's my personal experience. That's what I'm here telling you. Now, if you think that that's too far out, well, okay. You know, go do your thing. No hard feelings. Want a ham sandwich? Go get the mayonnaise out. I think I'm going to pass. Now, with that out of the way, I told my story, and there you are, Teresa. I've told you that story, and I invited you to call me. You want to call? Talk to me on the telephone. I'll probably tell you about the same thing. This is an educational institution. We believe that you're better off to do it yourself. We think that if you train yourself, you can read that contract just as well as your lawyer, and you don't need to pay the lawyer to read the contract. But you need to be competent to read the contract, and obviously you're telling me, well, I got this lawyer and I'm paying him and I'm running up these bills and I need help. You know, and I didn't write you a letter, Teresa, and say, hey, Teresa, I can't read the contract and I need help. And that's because I'm competent. I can read my own contracts, and so can you. And you don't have to go to law school. You don't have to get, a degree from Harvard or something like that to read a damn contract. You can read the contract, and you can go do the research in the codes, and you, just like we did. My problem is I don't quite have enough information. I don't have the contract that your husband signed with Halliburton. I told you what I thought about it. I think you're probably getting some pretty straight information based upon what I see there, unless your lawyer has switched sides and is working for Halliburton. There may actually be a wrongful death action there. I mean, Halliburton may be as guilty as sin, and they're covering it up. But I don't see that from the information that you furnished. And I can't give you legal advice. Many times you people will call here the law school, oh, God, I need legal advice. Jesus, you sound like an undercover FBI agent here trying to sting me when you do that. It sends up red flags. I get called every once in a while, and you can understand the logic behind it. The Bar Association here in America is a closed union shop, and George Gordon is a scab. I mean, let's just be realistic. George Gordon and the Gordon Law School is a scab and a closed union shop. They hate me like I was crossing a picket line. Now, boys and girls, I'm an old-timey union man, and I'm very familiar with the union. And I understand the picket line. I also understand right to work, and I think everybody ought to have a right to work. I think everybody ought to have a right to speak, and so on. I just want to tell you that George Gordon does not have a right to give legal advice, and I don't give legal advice. I don't give it on the air, and I don't give it off the air. That's the way life is. I don't think it should be that way. I think that anybody should be able to give legal advice. I think anybody should be able to give medical advice. Whether you take the legal advice and use it, or whether you take the medical advice and use it, that's a choice for you to make. But your government decided that they needed to protect you from bad medical advice, and so they've created a monopoly called the American Medical Association. So if I was to tell you to drink a glass of water because you're dehydrated, I would be giving you medical advice and prescribing, and that's against the law. So if I came to you and I said, well, gee, here's what you ought to do in this circumstance over here, I'd be giving legal advice. And you can't do that. So call me on the telephone, and then that's a private conversation, and I can tell you what my personal views are on one thing and another. But again, when you call, do me a favor and don't ask for legal advice. You know, what's your opinion, or could you teach me how to do this? A little better way to do it. I can teach you how to read the contract. I can teach you how to be your own lawyer. You know, I teach you how to be your own businessman. And after all, that's what education is all about, and that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is about private property and private business. And it's about competence. It's about teaching you how to be a competent businesswoman, how to be a competent businessman, how to be a competent legal advocate for yourself, how to be competent. That's what the bottom line is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's a comment that God made in the Bible. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And this is a case in point. This lady here is being destroyed. She's being put upon because of a lack of knowledge. And I contend that there's no reason why this lady Teresa, or why you or anybody else, can't be just as competent as any lawyer in America, especially since 90% of them are incompetent. All you have to do is learn how to be competent, and you're equal with 90% of the lawyers. All right, guys, we're out of time. I'm going to have to give you your final reminder here. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals and by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. See you tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.